What is up, everybody? This is the Primal King Podcast, and this is episode number 49. All right, today we are going to talk about Universe 25. What the hell is that? All right, I'll tell you all about it. Here we go. Let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody? This is the Primal King Podcast, and I am always stoked to be back for another solo episode. All right, so I want to talk to you all today about a study. You ever heard of Universe 25? Fascinating stuff. And I think it's very applicable to what's going on in our world right now. So before I kind of get into this study here, I want to tell you what I believe is one of the biggest causes for most of our problems. Okay, we've talked a little bit about this, but really what it comes down to is entitlement is something that enters in kind of like a thief in the night, right? I know for myself personally, what can happen is maybe you start doing really well. Maybe you start making really good money, and then you kind of start expecting that to happen, right? You expect money to come easy when maybe it doesn't, or maybe you start getting entitled in your marriage, right? Like, I feel like this happens a lot. So this past weekend, I had the awesome opportunity, just the honor, I guess, to be able to officiate my first wedding. And it was my little sister. And it was really, really cool. I was super humbled, super excited to be able to do it. But when I was kind of going through figuring out what all I wanted to say and everything else, it made me realize that I feel like, because we have this thing in marriage, you know, a lot of people call it like the 7-year itch, to where you just kind of get so comfortable around each other to where it's like, you know, you kind of lose like some of the luster for love, right? Like, all of a sudden you're farting all over each other, and you know, it's like things that used to kind of be private are no longer private. And you know, there's just really no decency left in marriage, right? Like, if you're married long enough, a lot of times that happens. And I think that a lot of people kind of mistake that for comfort, but I almost, where I see it coming more from is more from entitlement. Right? You start believing that because you've been married for X amount of years, because you've been in a relationship for so long, you become entitled to the fact that you get to be married, right? That you're entitled to being able to basically do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, and this person will still love you. And yes, maybe that person will still love you, but is your marriage going to be great at that point? When you feel like you're entitled to be in this relationship without having to put any work or any effort into it, chances are it's going to go bad. If you are, again, kind of on the financial side of it, if you are entitled and you stop working, you stop doing the things to set you up financially, chances are that's going to go away as well. And I feel like right now, currently, politically, culturally, we've gotten entitled. We've gotten apathetic. We've gotten to the point to where, I mean, let's face it, guys, like, we don't have problems like we think we do, right? Now, that doesn't discount the day-to-day stuff that we go through. Yes, of course, we have problems. But the truth of the matter is that for pretty much anybody listening to this podcast, I'm willing to wager that you have everything that you need to get by, right? You might not have as much money as you want. You might not have as fancy of a car as you want or the house that you want. But chances are is that you're not waking up every day wondering how you're going to eat. You're not waking up every day wondering where you're going to live. You're not waking up every day, wondering if you're going to be able to get through the day. And because of that, our basic needs are met, right? Like, even for the worst of the worst, right now, COVID has just ravaged businesses. It's ravaged families' incomes. Yet, like, most people are still able to get by with their basic needs. If they're not working, they're able to get some form of government assistance. And again, these are all good things, right? This is hopefully the sign of having a good culture and a good a noble country that wants to take care of its people even when they're in hard times. But having said that, this entitlement that you see now happening to where it's like the government should pay me, the government should send me money, right? The teacher should give me a good grade because blah, 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 right? Like we have this entitlement society. And I think a lot of the rioting and the looting, yes, maybe it started for noble causes, but anybody who now thinks that, you know, going in and vandalizing a store and walking out with bags full of Nike shoes is somehow contributing to, you know, systemic racism, you know, contributing to bringing down systemic racism. I mean, come on, like seriously, if I keep hearing this stuff, I'm literally going to stab myself in the retina with an ice pick. I mean, there's no way that you can correlate robbing someone's business to actually furthering the discussion about racial injustice. There's just no way you can correlate the two. If you want to march, you know, if you want to shut down businesses so you're heard, if you want to take a knee, all of those things are fine. I don't have to agree with any of them, but they're fine. But the moment that I'm out on this is when you start breaking in and stealing stuff and saying that you're entitled to it because people have been holding you down. That just simply isn't the case. I mean, a lot of these businesses are minority owned. So this entitlement, it's literally infiltrating every part of our society. And I feel like, again, a lot of this comes when you're fat and when you're happy. That leads me all the way back to this experiment. Again, if you guys want to check it out further, it's called the Universe 25 Experiment. So I'm going to read to you. This is from todayifoundit.com. This was what I could find as being kind of one of the good overviews of it. I'm trying to find, I thought I had it, but anyways, yeah, I believe it was written by a guy named Carl Smallwood. Don't know who that is, but I just want to attribute what I'm about to read to you. So basically, is in 1968, an expert on animal behavior and population control, his name was John B. Calhoun, built what was essentially a utopia for mice that was purpose-built to satisfy their every need. Despite going out of his way to ensure the inhabitants of his perfect mouse society never wanting for anything, within 2 years, virtually the entire population was dead. So what happened? So dubbed Universe 25, Calhoun's mouse utopia was built with needs of its mouse inhabitants firmly in mind and was designed specifically to cater to their every whim. Containing plentiful food, water, bedding, and at least initially space, the enclosure was described as follows. So it was a tank 101 inches square enclosed by walls 54 inches high. The first 37 inches of wall was structured so that the mice could climb up, but they were prevented from escaping by 17 inches of bare wall above. Each wall had 16 vertical mesh tunnels, call them stairwells. There was 4 horizontal corridors opened off each stairwell, each leading to 4 nesting boxes. That means 256 boxes in total, each capable of housing 15 mice. So that kind of at least gives you the layout of how it was. So he basically, the idea for this experiment was to see what would happen when you put mice in a utopian environment. Again, all mice are very simple creatures. They don't need houses and cars and, you know, fancy clothes like we all feel like we do. But they essentially had everything that they needed. So kind of to skim through this, what he thought may happen would be that he would be able to build this utopian society and that these mice would just love each other, right? I mean, isn't that the bill of goods that we're always sold? If we just have the things that we need, we'll all just, you know, hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But, and I'll kind of get into as to why more so I'm telling you about this study. So initially the experiment proved successful and the mice lived in relative harmony. And within a year, the population of 8 super healthy mice swelled to a respectable 620 members. Great care was taken to ensure the mice were taken care of. Food and water was unlimited, allowing mice to eat or drink whenever they pleased, and there was always space and clean bedding available so females could rear young in peace and safety. Despite this, Calhoun noticed that after day 315, right? So not really that far into this, he noticed after day 315 of the experiment, things started to go wrong. First of all, there's a noticeable drop in population growth. While initially the population of Mouse Heaven had doubled every 55 days, after day 315, it doubled. According to Calhoun's notes, approximately every 145 days. So it went from doubling every 55 days to every 145 days. This made little sense as there was still at this time ample space to house an additional 3,000 mice. In addition to a drop in population growth, Calhoun also noticed an abrupt change in behavior in both males and females. Social bonds effectively broke down, and male mice, without a reason to defend their territory or food source, since they were both plentiful, became dejected, forming cliques that randomly attacked one another seemingly for no reason. Females similarly began abandoning young or even attacking them, and slowly but surely, both males and females simply stopped breeding. In the lead up to this, certain of the male mice began continually mating with whatever mouse happened to be around, may it be it female or male. Many of the mice also began to simply kill and eat one another, despite the abundance of other food sources. Mothers abandoned babies. Mice would crowd together in groups of 50 or more in pens designed to hold 15 individuals, while pens with plentiful beddings sat empty inches away. So here's where it kind of gets interesting to me. Most intriguing of all were a small group of males and females who withdrew themselves from the mouse society altogether to live in the upper levels of the enclosure that Calhoun dubbed the Beautiful Ones. These mice did nothing but sleep, eat, and groom themselves, which, you know, made them look much better, right? They seemingly lost interest in all meaningful social bonds, refusing to interact or mate. The last birth in Universe 25 took place on day 600, and from this moment, the population slowly dwindled. Even when the population receded to levels where the mice had previously flourished, they refused to breed or to go back to their old way of interacting. A few months later, all of the mice were dead. Calhoun noted that although the population had survived for many months afterwards, it had effectively died on the 315th day, the day social bonds broke down, stating their spirit has died. They are no longer capable of executing the more complex behaviors compatible with species survival. The species is in such settings die. Okay, so what can we gain from this study? Okay, yeah, maybe some of you are saying these are just mice. Who cares about mice? The truth is, though, is that the behavior is actually very similar. So there are a lot of lessons I feel like we could and probably should be taking from this. So even in a perfect environment, there was no struggle. There was no hardship, right? These mice literally had everything they needed to have this little mice utopia. Yet they still turned apathetic. Now think of how many people right now in our current society have removed themselves from society, right? Be it sitting in their basement on social media without real human interaction. How many people have removed themselves from society and they sit there and they play, you know, video games all day, or, you know, people just hole up in their houses. And this is when society effectively dies, is when there is no struggle, right? And that's, to me, what this study proves. Because just think about your own life. You probably look back at going through struggles and you think that was awful. But yet when you are in the middle of it, maybe you woke up with purpose and that struggle was your purpose, right? And so it's kind of like the saying goes where it's, you know, don't ask for there to, I forget it, but it's don't ask for there to be fewer problems. Ask to be better able to handle them. Because at the end of the day, guys, like this whole thing that we call life, it's built in a way to have struggle. You know, the last episode that I talked about, the solo episode where I talked about, you know, kind of the force of average from Ryan Stueman, where he talked about that. We're built to handle that, even if we feel like we're not. So what you have to understand is that if you are dreaming about this utopian life, this life to where you don't have struggles and to where everything is easy, there will be struggles with that. They'll be different. There'll be apathy. There'll be complacency. There will be lack of growth, lack of purpose, all of those things. And so I feel like it came to me, and what's so funny, you know, call it God, call it whatever you want to. But to me, the crazy thing, it's not funny, it's crazy to me, is that the struggle with our new business this week has been real, right? We're having to set up dates for like a year away for processing, you know, the meat and everything else, because everything's so booked. And there's just like all this struggle. This week was chaotic. Like at one point, she'd probably kill me for saying it, just like literally broke down and was just like, I can't handle this, right? And then it would be like 2 days later and I would basically break down and be like, I can't handle this. And then I see a study like this and I'm like, this is great. This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be struggling. We're supposed to be, you know, this is what we're meant to do. So what do we do in the face of that? Do we just, you know, break down and throw our hands up and quit and be like, yeah, no, this business is too hard. There's too much to it. Or do we embrace the suck, embrace the struggle, and just keep going forward? I want you all to understand that no matter what it is that you're going through, embrace it, right? Like understand the study and then relate it to your own life where you see that utopia, this utopia stuff, that's for the afterlife, in my opinion, right? Like if you want my beliefs, like that's what heaven's all about. That's not earth. Right now, again, like you may not share my beliefs. I don't care what your beliefs are. But at the same time, like just understand that we're built to put here to struggle. We're built to be here to do hard things. And if you're not willing to do hard things, they'll find you anyways. So again, like I've talked about before, but one of the reasons why I do silly things like try to take cold showers as much as I can and, you know, try to work out every day and things like that is because I want to create hard things in my life because I know I'll be better equipped to do the other hard things. There's a lot of days for me and probably for you to where all you want to do is just sit down, turn on Netflix and do nothing. And you know what? If you want to do that every once in a while, I don't think that's a big deal. But we weren't built to live that way. I know people personally who literally get up and they have nothing to do and their basic needs are met and they are miserable people, right? They have food, they have shelter, they have water, you know, clean drinking water, things that we probably take for granted here. And yet they still are unfulfilled and they're still struggling. They're just struggling in a different way. So if you find yourself in this kind of apathetic, you know, spot, you find yourself in this situation where you don't have any passion, any purpose, any drive, you've got to go out and create it. You've got to embrace the suck while you do it. Because I just keep thinking what our business will be like in 3 years if I keep embracing this. And it all sucks. It does. So much of it sucks. You know, are we going to sell enough? Are we going to sell too much? Are we going to have the dates we need? Are we going to be late? Like all these different things. And you know, just all of it is overwhelming and it's a struggle. But if you can take a step back and just embrace it, if you can take a step back and just understand that this is what we're here for, this is what you were made to do. You know, the other day, like I've talked to you guys before, I coach football. And the other day, kid gets his foot hurt. And I sit there and I see this kid, he's sitting there crying, right? Like, I mean, just in pain and there's probably some embarrassment, right? And probably just, you know, feeling like this sucks. But he came back to practice the next day and I was like, this is a kid that's going to understand how to do this. One of the reasons why I love coaching football and, you know, any of those who know me personally know that like I will fight you to the death to win a game of checkers against you, right? Like I don't care what it is, like I want to win. But as you get older and you've coached more people and you've seen more young men turn into, you know, be older men, and you realize that so many of the lessons that you learn on the sports fields and, you know, on the courts, and on the field, wherever you're at, so many of those lessons are about embracing the suck. Again, like I pulled the kid aside and it's just like, you know, we appreciate you being here and just understand you're building character right now. It may not seem like it. You may want to quit. You may never want to play football again, but just understand that you are building character right now. You are embracing this struggle. You are doing the things right now that as you get older, whatever you go on to do, you'll have confidence in yourself because you're embracing this. You're getting through the struggle. And so also too, like understand sometimes guys, when I do these podcasts, like this is my therapy. I've said it before, but it really is because this week has been brutal. It has been. And there's been a few brutal weeks since we've got all this going. And when I see a study like Universe 25, like I said, it makes me feel better about the fact that we are struggling. Because if we weren't struggling, if we were just sitting here fat and happy on the ranch, not struggling at all, I personally, first of all, I don't know what I would do because I kind of feel like I'm built just to be in the middle of struggles sometimes. But also it just gives me the peace of mind knowing that you know what, the struggle, it's not that bad, right? Like it really isn't. I'm not struggling like my great grandparents were struggling when they were living at the bottom of a canyon, you know, with no electricity and you know, none of that. Like, so again, like I try to keep it in perspective, but I also understand that the struggle is good. And if you're not willing to struggle, you're not willing to accomplish the great things that you're capable of. If I'm not willing to struggle, I know I'm not willing to do that, right? I know I'm not willing. Like if I'm not willing to go down and hurt myself in the gym, I know I'm not willing to stay fit, right? Like I said before, I don't have a six pack. I don't have, you know, the shredded arms or the shredded legs, whatever. But what I do know is I can play with my kids. I can go hike up a mountain if I need to. And so again, the reason why I can do that though is because I embrace that struggle, and I encourage you to, again, just embrace it. Like, again, maybe you're overweight. That's okay. Like, embrace the struggle to lose some of that weight if that's truly what you want to do. If you're starting a new business, just understand you're going to have the struggle. Just keep going. Think about the Universe 25. You're not meant to sit on your butt and eat Cheetos all day and pretend like you're happy because your basic needs are met. That will not lead you to a fulfilling life. That will not lead you to a legacy. It will not lead you to liberation. Any of the things that the Primal King podcast is built on, none of that will happen unless you're willing to embrace that struggle. So again, if you guys want to check out the study, I encourage you to go. I feel like it's a fascinating study, especially for where so many of us are right now in this time in our lives. So again, check it out. Next week, we'll have another amazing guest. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, screenshot it, put it in your story, share it out there. We're on track to have just a huge month this month with listeners, downloads, and everything else. So I'm excited to see we're nearing in on the 10,000 download mark. So hopefully we'll get there real soon. And again, guys, if you can share it out, do so. But in the meantime, don't get in that Universe 25 mindset. All right, get out there, get it done. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.